Please take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 1. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and will not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. In Luke chapter 1, we find Zacharias being chosen by lot to go into the temple, into the holy place, or into the Holy of Holies, to offer incense on the altar and to pray to God. When Zacharias goes into the holy place, he is startled because there is someone else in the holy place. It is an angel sent by God with glad tidings or good news. And the angel tells Zacharias the good news that the prayers that he and his wife have made throughout the years for a child, that prayer has been heard. He also tells Zacharias that the son born to he and his wife, that son will be great. That son is going to be great because he will fulfill the ministry that God has given to him to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. That he will go forth in the Spirit and in the power of Elijah, and that he will prepare the way before the Lord. And that his ministry will have the good effect of turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Well, you would think that Zacharias would be thrilled to death to hear that good news brought to him by this angel. But Zacharias, upon hearing that incredible news, answers and responds in this way: "How shall I know this?" How shall I know this? In other words, What this priest is asking the angel for is a sign. What will be the sign that you will give me that these things will come to pass? Well, no sign is going to be given to Zacharias the priest because no sign was really necessary. The angel was bringing to Zacharias the message from God. It is a message that is true. And when Zechariah asked, "How shall I know this?" Zacharias is really questioning the veracity, the truthfulness of the word that the angel had just spoken to him. And isn't that often the way we are? When God speaks to us in His Word, whether that word came through an angel or a prophet or an apostle, when God speaks His truth to us by way of promises, by way of glad tidings, do we not oftentimes respond in the same way that this priest did? We respond not in faith, not in trusting the Word of God, but in questioning God and asking for a sign. Brothers and sisters, when God speaks explicitly in His Word, when God gives you instruction about which there is no doubt, when it is clear and simple, we are not to ask for a sign so that God proves by that sign that what He has said is true. Now you say, now wait a minute, wasn't there a guy in the Old Testament that asked for a sign when God called him to be a judge and he questioned God's calling? Didn't he ask for a sign and didn't God give him a sign? And my answer to that would be yes. God in His mercy did that for Gideon. But it was the mercy of God that gave him that sign, because no sign was really necessary. Now, Zacharias is a priest. It is the duty of a priest to minister the Word of God to God's people. Zacharias, of all people in Israel, should have known the history of God's speaking to His people. And what happens when those people question the will and the Word of God? Bad things happen. God is not pleased with that. Yes, God sometimes, in His mercy, remembering our frame that we are but dust, gives His people a sign. Zacharias should have known better. He should have known that when God speaks, like E.F. Hutton, remember the old commercial? That we as His people should listen. And we should listen believing that God's Word is true. And then he has the audacity to give this angel, who we will later learn came from the presence of God, he has the audacity to say to the angel, "Hey, look, don't you know how old I am? And how old my wife is? How advanced in years we are? How impossible this is? Don't you know that?" Well, do you think Gabriel lacked that knowledge? Do you think the God that sent Gabriel with that message was unaware of how old that aged priest and his wife were. Well, he informs the angel of his condition. And in doing that, the impossibility of his wife conceiving and having a son. So the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel." Now, in this scripture, we know that angels are God's messengers. We know that these messengers are those angels who did not rebel and fall when Satan rebelled, and a third of the host of heaven joined him in that rebellion and fell with him. These angels, therefore, are holy angels. And this angel is one of only two angels in the scripture who is named for us. The other angel is Michael. This angel's name is Gabriel. And when Gabriel tells Zacharias his name, then that priest, knowing the scripture, would have known that the first and only other time that we have met this angel by name in the scripture was in Daniel chapters 8 and 9. When Daniel has visions and is perplexed by the meaning of those visions, God sends Gabriel to explain the visions to him. So to have Gabriel standing there saying these things to Zacharias the priest is a unique and special situation. God doesn't just send Gabriel to anyone at any time. He sends him on very special occasions. And this is one of those occasions. In other words, he's saying to Zacharias, "Don't you know who I am? I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings," or to bring you this good news. "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe in my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Zacharias, there is going to be a consequence for your unbelief, for your lack of faith, and that consequence is that you will be mute and not able to speak. Well, the people waited for Zacharias. And it says they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. If you know anything about the priests going into the temple, you know that they didn't linger for very long. They went in, did what they were supposed to do. They came out. And when they came out, what did they do? They would raise their hands and they would pronounce God's blessing, God's benediction on the people that were gathered there. Well, the people are wondering what has happened to Zacharias. He's been in there way too long than is normal. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. They weren't going to know what happened in the temple. Why? He wasn't going to be able to tell them. He couldn't speak a word. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So here we have this man in the holy place, spoken to by an angel sent from God, who was in the presence of God, sharing glad tidings of good joy, if you will, with this priest. The priest is incredulous at what the angel had to say. He does not believe it. He does not trust. And as a result, he is mute. Now, let me remind you that this priest was described in prior verses along with his wife as being godly. Now, that's an encouragement to me, because sometimes even godly people have a hard time trusting the Word of God. Isn't that true? Let me give you an example. You remember in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, a minor prophet, we studied Habakkuk a few years ago. That Habakkuk, in prayer, had poured out his heart to God about the wickedness of the people in Judah. These people were lawbreakers. They were idol worshippers. They were unjust. They were unkind. And Habakkuk is wanting God to do something about these people. And so God comes to Habakkuk and he says, I'm going to do something that's going to knock your socks off. I'm going to do something astonishing in your days. And then he tells Habakkuk, I am going to raise up the Chaldeans. Well, Habakkuk knows about the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. And he knows how wicked, how cruel, and how heartless the Babylonians are. And he says, wait a minute, God. How can you do that? How can you punish a wicked people by people that are even more wicked than they are? That doesn't make any sense to me. And here's the short answer to that. God says this to the prophet, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, my word may not make sense to you, but you need to trust that I know what I am doing. You need to trust that what I say is true. You need to trust me that I am working out my will and my plan in the chastisement, the severe chastisement of the people of Judah by the Babylonians. Habakkuk, others may not, but you must live by faith. That is, you must live by faith in my word. But faith in the word of God is sometimes difficult because we find it to be incredible, the things that God has promised to us. And we don't always understand the will and the ways of God. You remember, God says through a prophet that our ways are not His ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So sometimes we aren't going to understand, and we are going to be left scratching our heads. But God says to us, time and time again, trust me. My word is true. But we don't. We, all too often, are men and women of little faith. What is faith? It is trust in the reliability of something or someone, and in our case, it is confidence in the reliability of God and His Word. you remember the Lord's own definition of faith, as you remember the account at the end of John 4, the healing of the official's son. The man had heard of the Lord's power. He had heard from eyewitnesses that Jesus had the power to heal. And so he comes to Jesus with the request that Jesus heal his sick son. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." Now let me remind you, he is not with his son at that time. He doesn't know that his son has been healed. But on the basis of the mere word of God, what does he do? He obeys. He leaves Jesus because it says in John 4, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. That is faith. Faith is believing the word of the Lord and in acting then on that belief. Faith is confidence that what has been said is true, confidence that demands our response, our action. We have the definition of faith in the negative in Zacharias's doubting, and in the positive in Elizabeth's confidence. Later in this same chapter, in Elizabeth's remark to Mary, we have that same definition of faith when Mary says this: "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which are told her from the Lord." That was Elizabeth saying that. Luke tells us that Zacharias was a godly man, a man of faith, a man of prayer, a man who took the duties of his office seriously, but he found it difficult to believe that his aged and barren wife could possibly have a child in this late stage of her life. No matter that an angel had appeared to him, he struggled to believe what he had been told. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe the Word of God? You say, "Well, of course I do." Do you believe that Jesus Christ is building the church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Do you believe that? When attendance at worship in this country in the last decade has dropped from 45% to 35%? Do you believe that in light of the fact that Muslims seem to be overrunning many areas of the Middle East and are persecuting the church? And Christians are fleeing by the droves from those areas to escape that persecution? Do you believe that Christ is building the church even though there's the beginning of persecution in this country, the attempt to shut up the preachers of God, as happened in Houston this past week? Do you believe that Christ is building the church? It seems to me, at this date and in this age, the gates of hell are overcoming the church. But the Lord Christ said that He is building the church, and His promise is that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In spite of what we see, and in spite of what we hear, and in spite of what we might think, the Lord Christ is not going to fail to fulfill His promise. Believe that? It's hard to believe it sometimes. Sometimes we might even doubt it. But it is the Word of God. Do you believe that the gospel is going to have such success in the world that the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea? Believe that? Doesn't seem like that in the 21st century. It's been over 2,000 years since John the Baptist preached repentance and faith. It's been over 2,000 years since the Lord preached repentance and faith. It's been over 2,000 years since the apostles went forth preaching repentance and faith. It's been 2,000 years that there has been the ministry of the Word in the world. And yet we do not see the knowledge of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen, does it? It's been a long time, though, remember, since God said to the serpent that there was going to come one who would crush his head while the serpent bit his heel. Well, it was a long time before that promise was fulfilled in Christ. It might be a long time, unless you're a dispensationalist, before the Lord fills that promise that He made so long ago through the prophet. But let me assure you that the Word of God is true. And let God be true, and every man be found a liar. Our God never fails. Our God always speaks the truth. And even though the truth may be hard for us to believe, we are supposed to trust what God has said and be confident that God in His time will fulfill His word exactly as He has said. Let me ask you this. When you have a hard providence in your life, do you believe Romans 8:28? We all know that verse. We know what it says. That God is working all things together for the good of His people. And then you have a hard and difficult providence. And you are in the dark as to God's good purpose in it. Do you then believe Romans 8:28? Or do you say to God, I'm not so sure. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't see any good in this. I don't understand how this is going to work together for my good. Or do you say, God, I don't understand it. I don't see it. But I will trust that what you have said is true. And that you are working all things together for my good. Our response to what God says to us is to believe and to act upon that belief. We are people of the Word. We trust in the veracity of Scripture. It is wonderful for us to confess that the Bible is inspired by God. That it was God-breathed. All 66 books in all their parts. It is wonderful for us to confess that it is inerrant and it is infallible. We believe that with all our hearts. We have no problem confessing that. But let me ask you this. Do you trust always in the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God? Or do you find yourself like Zechariah saying, when God has spoken clearly, how do I know this is going to happen? How do I know these things? You know they're going to happen because of the one who has spoken them to you through his prophets and through his apostles. God has given you the truth. He is the God of truth who cannot lie. His word is true. Our duty, our obligation is to trust it. Doesn't mean we're not going to be puzzled at times. We are to trust. And Zacharias, the godly man, on this occasion, didn't trust in the Word of God. And because he didn't trust, he was mute. He was unable to speak. He was unable on that occasion, as he left the temple, to pronounce the benediction on the people who were gathered there. He was unable to tell them why he had been in the temple for so long. But then you have Elizabeth, his wife. Just as the angel said, Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." She believed what the angel had spoken to her husband. Don't know quite how he communicated that to her, but somehow he did. Mary is going to be spoken to by that same angel. And that same angel is going to tell Mary, a virgin, betrothed to Joseph, he is going to tell her something that is far more impossible to believe than that an aged and barren woman could have a son. The angel is going to tell Mary that she will conceive and that she will have a son. And he is saying that to a young lady, the age of 12 or 13, who is what? A virgin. Mary knows how babies come into being. She knows the biology of that. She knows that virgins do not conceive and bear children. It has not happened. And yet the angel says to her, it's going to happen. And she's going to ask the angel, how can this be? And you say, well, isn't she responding the same way as Zacharias? My answer to that is no. It's not that she doesn't believe that what the angel says is going to happen. Her question is, how is this going to happen? And the angel explains it to her. But she believes what the angel said. The simple lesson for us in this morning is that we, as God's people, who confess that His Word is true, we have the responsibility to trust in that Word, to believe it, and to act upon it. Because that is pleasing to God. And when God speaks clearly and we doubt the veracity of His Word, we know from what happened to Zacharias that God is not pleased with that. If our true desire is to glorify God, if that is the true goal and end of our lives, then we glorify God by loving Him and obeying His commands, but we will not love and obey His commands if we do not trust in the truthfulness of His Word. Brothers and sisters, trust what God says is true. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the message this morning is very simple, nothing profound. But we confess that we struggle with the very things that Zacharias struggled with when the word was spoken to him and he questioned the truthfulness of that word. Father, how often we find ourselves questioning your word, questioning whether it is true, questioning whether it is true in our situation and in our case, questioning whether it is true because years and generations and centuries have passed since the promises that we find in your word. Father, we do desire with all our hearts to be those whose faith and confidence is in you and in your word. And we pray, Father, that as people who have that confidence, that we might be people who live in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we pray that we might walk in faithfulness before the Lord our God, always believing and always holding to the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.